We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Ka'Chava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Ka'Chava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code FITNESS.
Off the ball, GAA.
That's a big thing in inter-county setups, particularly if you aren't successful, that, you know, as players make sit down in November, do I want to buy in and be part of this?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Keith Tracy is here. Good morning, Keith.
Morning, lads. How are we?
And Dara Smith Nocton is here. Dara, good morning.
Morning, Shane. How's it going?
Lads.
Ah, stop.
I don't know where to start. Like, a couple of the headlines, obviously, in the papers. Troy to the World is the back page of The Sun. Obviously, the front page of the Irish Times gets it as well. Second Troy, Ireland go off script to beat Portugal 2-0. You've got Slick as a Parrot. See what they've done there in the mirror?
Yeah, yeah.
Troy double keeps Ireland's World Cup hopes alive, but it's a night to forget for red card Ron. Troy and Troy again is the Irish Daily Star. You've Troy Wonder on the back page of the Irish Daily Mail. And, I mean, it was just... Keith, how do you summarise... We'll get into it over the next hour, but how do you summarise what you saw last night?
It's so difficult. I was impressed with every aspect of the game. Out of possession, obviously, we knew Portugal were going to come and have the lion's share of the ball. I was worried about his out of possession. I thought we were outstanding. It's the best I've seen this Irish team since I started doing punditry. I've been doing it probably 4, maybe 5 years now. It's the best I've seen us out of possession. Unbelievable. And people kept saying to me, when I'm saying we should play a four at the back, we should bog it down in the middle of the park and go from back to front really easy, really quickly. People saying, oh, that's boring. We don't want to see that. The Aviva was bouncing last night. Absolutely bouncing. And the first couple of minutes when Portugal started the game, you're thinking, Pat Fenlon looked at me and said, the Portuguese look like they're in the mood. And I thought, oh, okay. But we got it. We fired one in behind. I think it was Azaz went through. And if he'd have got a better pass off into the box, we could have hit them on the counter straight away, and that just kept us interested. And that for me is, that's our blueprint moving forward. Soak up pressure, spring out and hurt people. And I'm just delighted, because for so many people have been telling me, we've Premier League defenders, we've good defenders. We leaned into it last night and we defended really, really well, and Troy Parrott up the top end of the park. I think we've all looked at him playing for AZ Alkmaar and think, if he could do that in an Irish jersey, we have half a chance here. And he provided it last night. And it's not just a Troy Parrott thing. I know he was man of the match, but I thought Coleman was absolutely outstanding, yeah. Not just in his individual performance, being a leader. Collins, O'Shea, all absolutely outstanding. Scales, unbelievable. Like Benny, I thought that everybody to a man was absolutely brilliant. And to have 23% possession and be the better team in a game. So people will say, oh, well, Portugal with a better team, the lion's share of the ball. Ireland were the better team last night. Possession doesn't mean domination of the game. They dominated the ball. Doesn't mean they were a better team. Yeah. We were a better team. We looked more dangerous. So there's a way to play that sort of formation and be on the front foot. Outstanding. It's our blueprint moving forward. And it was such a strange feeling walking home in the Aviva last night. You know, you win a big game, you're expecting people to be buoyant. It was, don't get me wrong, people are on cloud nine, but it was also a bit of a, what did I just witness there? It was a bit mental, but over the moon.
Yeah, Dara, your immediate reaction?
Confusion almost. It's like, you know, it was just like, this is bonkers. It was funny, like, I was watching Sky Sports there this morning, and the way they were reporting it kind of woke me up, because, like, as Irish fans, we're not too unused to seeing results like this. We've had days like this where we go out and do what seems to be like the impossible, but Sky Sports were almost talking about it like, how has this happened? And you're kind of like, yeah. How has this happened? This shouldn't happen.
No.
But yeah, it has. And I there's a comment there on YouTube, I've lost the name there, but it said, let's all get carried away. Yeah, let's get carried away.
Yeah.
Why not? We just beat Portugal, get the clean sheet. Why would we not get carried away in this situation?
We've got 3 days to do it, obviously, to get carried away, a couple of days to do it. And look, I know it's only half the job, really. We have to go and beat Hungary and Budapest on Sunday afternoon to secure even just a playoff. But we're not worried about that this morning, obviously. It's just like, there were so many elements, Keith, that even this, before the game, I was watching on television last night, and like Shea gave him, they were trying to come up with some modicum of positivity. He was like, well, look, we have a height advantage over Portugal, and you know, the atmosphere here is going to be brilliant. It's a home atmosphere, and you know, if we could just keep it tight. I was thinking, if we can just keep it tight for the first 20 minutes and not do what we did at home to Hungary, But then as the game went on, and particularly going in at half time 2-0 up, you're thinking, we could actually win this game here, never mind draw.
Yeah, to be fair, I didn't start to think we could win the game until Ronaldo got sent off.
Right.
And even then I was thinking, if Portugal score, I wouldn't be surprised if they got another one. So I don't know, I just had a lack of confidence. And to be fair, I don't think anybody, like everybody, is surprised by this performance. And not the fact that we've gone out and beaten one of the best teams in the world, the way we did it. We were the best. Mm. We were the better team. Yeah. We weren't. It wasn't a smash and grab. And Ireland, I know we hit Portugal on the counter attack twice, but we were the more dangerous. Like Benny hit the post. Parra could have had a penalty had he been a little bit more, I wouldn't say dive, he'd have been a little bit cute, or could have easily wrestled the penalty out of that situation. So yeah, we had a better XG. We had three shots on target. We hit the post. We had more big chances than them. And Portugal, at times, really did start to bore me. They had 732 completed passes. We had 165.
Wow.
Like, I don't understand this modern way of football. Pass the ball to death and wait for something to open up. We just got it and slung it in behind. Even the Troy Parrott's second goal, it was a Darragh O'Shea that comes in and just smashes the ball in behind. Mm. That's not a pass. He just, that was a tackle that he thought, it was a 50-50 that the Portuguese player thought, not getting involved in that, and our player just went, I'll welly this one. If you kick the ball in behind and you have willing runners, defenders facing their own goal, it's the kryptonite when Roberto Martinez tells his Portuguese defenders, when we're attacking, go and stand 20 yards inside the Irish half. Okay, if they want to do that, just sling the ball over the top of them and make them run towards their own goal. Mm. Something will happen. And if you make defenders defend, you'll get a reward every now and then. And look, like I say, I think the biggest thing for me is I wasn't so sure we were capable of that type of performance, definitely not for a 90-minute performance. But when to keep the ball. There was times when you thought the Portuguese press was a little bit all over the place and there was no point because the distances were wrong to sling it over the top. And we kept it for two or three passes and then we hit it over the top. Just the little intricacies of when to do it and when not to do it, I thought was really, really intelligent. And how many times did we go from back to front with one long ball and the Portuguese looked in trouble?
Yeah.
So why, when we play Armenia, would we think, tell you what, get it down, play nice, play 100 passes, just put it over the top, run after them, put them under pressure. Don't worry about the rest of the world and how they play football and, you know, playing sexy football through the lines. We're Ireland. Mm. Lean into it and just make people feel uncomfortable and see what you can get. And I think the more we lean into that style of play, that 90 style of play, you can say Jack Charlton put them under pressure, all that type of stuff, but we'll get results. Mm. We will get results from it. And Cristiano Ronaldo, first time ever being sent off in his international career. Just pure frustration. Pure frustration. If you're frustrating some of the best midfielders in the world, in Vitinha and João Neves, Ronaldo up the top of the park barely gets a kick, don't ever shy away from this style of play. If anything, lean into it. I was celebrating. There was a run down the line. Benny got the ball. We were under the cosh as we were. Benny ran down the wing 70 yards, won a throw.
Yeah.
Jake O'Brien trounced up and we launched it into the box. I thought, lovely. Why overcomplicate it? Put it into the box.
That style of play is nearly coming back, isn't it? Like, you see teams booting the ball off and kick off into the corner, like rugby style.
Love it.
Let's get some meters here, lads. Let's set ourselves up in the corner.
But the reason people do that, the reason people kick off and think we'll fire it into the corner, is because they know, well, the opposition will try and play out from the back.
Mm.
And the first 30 seconds of the game, with pressures like mad things, yous are going to try and force it.
That's what we did from the start, like, set a tone,
Close they want to play. Okay, let's see how they can play under pressure.
Lads, the YouTube comments this morning are going to be hard to keep track of. We'll try and get to as many of them as we possibly can. Darry, you might help collate some of these as well.
You're putting that on me. Okay.
There's loads. Carndelly says, I've never been so effing buzzing for a 1 a.m. kickoff here in Sydney on Monday morning. That's looking ahead to the Hungary game this weekend. Michael sums it up as well. Great performance. I doubted they had this in them, but they turned up last night. That's a key element to this. A lot of people doubted that was actually a possible result. I was looking at that game last night thinking, damage limitation. But I don't know, do we all owe an apology to Eamonn Halgrimsson? I don't know, but it's got that feel to it.
No, I don't think, you know, I know that's tongue-in-cheek, but this Irish team has proven over the last couple of months that, well, not proven, but they've leaned into it. We're not capable of that. They've shown at times they can defend. They've shown at times they can be decent going forward. The middle of the park is a big, big worry. I was looking, trying to put my team together yesterday and thinking, who am I going to play in the middle of this pitch? The lads were absolutely brilliant, but they didn't overcomplicate it. Never ever overcomplicate it. How many times did you see us playing ourselves into trouble? Didn't happen yesterday because we didn't overcomplicate it. There was once or twice where Cullen Foyer went into the middle and I thought, don't do that. Very, very rare did we put ourselves in trouble. And we did the basics really, really well. If we do them type of things, game after game, when the bigger nations come to the Aviva, we'll be all right. We outworked, we outfought. I thought we were just brilliant. 12 block shots, 41 clearances, 40 duels won. That's the nitty gritty of the game that we need to be winning, and we won it, and we showed those little bits with Troy Parrott running in behind, or Benny in the channels. That's the bits where the lads can express themselves. Mm. So it's not all everybody on a leash and nobody gets to enjoy themselves. It's horrible, dogged stuff when we don't have the ball, but when we win it, there'll be little moments where lads can go and prove that they're good footballers, just as Troy did. And you know, there's some big questions coming for Hamer on Sunday.
Yeah. Let's assess some of the key moments from last night, I suppose. Maybe start with Troy Parrott's opening goal on 17 minutes. And it's a brilliant corner. And as Liam Scales said after the match, it was straight off the training ground. And they've been working on that all week with Scales going to the back post. Brilliant delivery, like a bullet delivery from Josh Cullen. You don't see Cullen's that sort of delivery too often.
Corners all game were brilliant.
Yeah, class.
All game long.
And even just the fact that Scales was in the right area, he cushions the header. And obviously Parrott's in the right place as well. It's a lovely, well worked set piece goal, something that we've always been dangerous at, set pieces, but it was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sounds so easy, doesn't it? Just zing one to the back post, Scales, you get free, you head it back across the 6 yard box, and Troy, you just nod it back in. It was brilliant stuff, and there's so many little intricacies through it. When the ball gets fired to the back stick, I think it's Darragh O'Shea that runs one of the Portuguese centre halves under the ball. He's backtracking and he wants to get his head on it, but Darragh just stands there and says, "Well, you're not going any further than me." And that's when Scales gets in and around. Look, I don't want to be. Ireland were absolutely brilliant. Scales was excellent last night. Joe Felix marking for that corner is absolutely disgraceful. Yeah. He has him on the edge of the 18-yard box, and he's with him, and then just decides, "Oh, we'll let you go," and jumps up in the air as the ball is coming. You think, "What are you doing?" He was absolutely awful. Criminal. But look, Scales was brilliant. Even when you know on the training ground, I'm supposed to head this back across the box. But when you get free in a game situation, it's so tempting to think, "I'm 8 yards out here. I'll just head this towards goal and see what I can get." But he keeps his composure really well, and Troy does what all good centre forward should do, just gets that half a yard in the 6 yard box, and a set piece at home to a big nation. It was brilliant, and I did think, well, we just slapped a joint on the wrist and they're going to react, but we were the ones who just kept reacting. I on cloud nine, I thought the lads were superb, and I see very little room for improvement, but like that is the blueprint moving forward. Be so dogged out of possession, just be ruthless. You know, what was it? Disciplined defending, lethal counter-attacks, and minimise mistakes. That's exactly what we did last night.
Yeah, and Mossy says Felix, the most overhyped player in footballing history, is one of the YouTube comments that have come
in. I tend to agree. I haven't seen an awful lot with Joe Felix, and obviously he's been at Chelsea twice. That's where I would have seen an awful lot of him. We've seen a bit of him at Atletico Madrid. Yeah, talented boy. Don't see an awful lot more than that.
Yeah.
Didn't exactly want the fight last night, did he? I think the ref told him to get off the ground 3 times yesterday.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I think the ref was brilliant. In the game over in Portugal, I think Ronaldo sort of dictated proceedings, sort of told the ref how to ref the game, but I thought the ref was excellent. Didn't buy any of the cheap little silly fouls and kept the tempo really high and allowed us to really get after Portugal.
Mm. Not long after Parrott's goal, João Neves has a bit of space, shot from distance to kind of threaten Ireland a touch. Then on 38 minutes, Ogbeni, of course, hits the post. It was a clearance come pass again, one of those that Ogbeni just gets in behind. And just after that, the Portuguese again put a bit of pressure on. And you're thinking, just going up to half time, hold on to this, lads. Hold on to a 1-0 lead. Please go in at the break with an advantage. The crowd will give you an ovation going off the pitch. And then they get a second goal. And it was just brilliant again. He gave Diogo Costa in the Portuguese goal no chance. It was that lofted pass or whatever you might call it, clearance from Darragh O'Shea, and Parrott the finish. Like, he had a lot of work to do.
He did have a lot of work to do, but it's so, when you know what the game plan is, when you win the ball back, or it's even a 50-50 fighting ball, if me and you know, Shane, if you're playing up front and I'm in midfield and you think, oh, that's a 50-50 ball, oh, it looks like Keith's going to win it, and you set off running straight away, I'm not looking to see if you're running, I'm just hitting it. Yeah. And if you're not running, then you're going to be in trouble. But it just looked like everybody was on the same Darragh O'Shea's about to win this. Troy Parrott's already on his bike starting to spin into the channel. And it's like a race where we're getting to say, go. Right, lads, we're going to flick it into the channel. Start running now. And look, when Troy spins into the channel, I'm thinking, hold it up, wait for somebody to give you a bit of support. The Portuguese defending, again, I thought was absolutely awful. Let him come inside on his right foot so easy. You must be thinking, when you're one-on-one with Troy Parrott out in the 18-yard box, well, he's right-footed. Don't let him in on his right foot. He lets him in on his right foot. And he actually said in his interview after it, I knew the defender would open his legs. Such intelligent striking, isn't it? Saying, well, I'll nutmeg him for want of a better word. And it sort of just trickles into the goal, but it's going through the defender's legs that makes it so difficult for Costa. And an intelligent finish from Troy. Brilliant stuff.
Said it was the best night of his life.
Yeah.
These guys, he's one of those guys that doesn't get too emotional in those type of interviews. You never really see too much from him. And I think he did collect himself after he said that a couple of times, but it's a real indictment of how big this is for Irish football. I think, look, Sunday, we won't talk too much about that today, I don't think. But we'll worry about that when we get to it. But like, it's such a massive result.
To be honest, I'm absolutely buzzing for Troy Parra. He grew up around the corner from me in Sheridan Street, and when he first came onto the scene on the Irish scene, he was at Spurs. He wasn't really playing at Spurs, but a lot of people were putting him forward, and it was because of our own selfish needs. We were thinking, we need a striker, we need the next Robbie Keane. Oh, well, Troy Parrott's at Spurs, throw him in. He wasn't ready, and you know, he didn't cover himself in glory at Spurs. Jose Mourinho put him on, and when the fans were chanting his name, and then after the game he sort of said to the Spurs fans, I told you he wasn't ready, and sort of got made a scapegoat. Then Evan Ferguson comes on the scene and Troy is the forgotten man. Nobody's talking about Troy Parrott anymore. Then he goes to AZ Alkmaar, starts scoring all sorts of goals. Then Evan goes to Roma and everybody's talking about Evan again. Oh, Evan is the one moving forward. Troy just seems to have bounced back and thought, puffed his chest down, thought, now I'm the man. And you know, if you're picking the team for Sunday now, Troy's the first name on the team sheet. So absolutely over the moon for Troy.
Yeah, 13 goals this season, isn't it, for AZ Alkmaar so far. So really a striker in form. Like, they get to half time and you're thinking that's the best half of Hamer Helgrimson's reign, quite comfortably, and it's probably a message of keep cool heads at half time, don't get carried away. I was thinking at half time, just get to the 60th minute without conceding here. You know, keep same as the start of the game, keep cool heads, and once it gets to 60-65, and then of course the red card incident we have to touch on, lads. It was just magical stuff, and obviously Ronaldo losing the head, walking off afterwards, and it was just beautiful. And he's become a meme this morning on the back pages as well. But like, first of all, like it showed a sign of petulance from Ronaldo. We said, look, it's the first international red card of his career. But O'Shea just knew how to, whether it's wind him up or keep him under control. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I think all three of the centre halves were outstanding. So often we were saying in the build-up, well, look, Portugal are so good through the middle that you'll force them wide and you've just got to give up the wings. You give up the wings, there's going to be a lot of balls coming into the box. And Portugal put a couple in, but I think they realised fairly quickly that Ronaldo's not really having his way in there. And Ronaldo at one point was on the left wing trying to do two or 3 yard pass. You're thinking, no problem, who are you going to cross it to? Like, Vitinha is not a big boy. There was no real bigger lads. Joe Felix, Bernardo Silva. There was no big lads when he was knocking about on the wings. And when he swings his elbow, I'm not sure, like, I was at the Aviva last night, I had a monitor in front of me, I couldn't exactly see how much contact was made, but you go swinging your elbow like that in the 18-yard box, you deserve everything you get. And when he walks off and starts shaking Hamer's hand and giving all the crying stuff to
the crying stuff, first of all, was like, I was thinking he's lost it here a little bit. But I even thought the charm offensive during the week where he was going in front of the media and praise in Ireland overly so, and obviously talking about Hamer's comments as well in the media, like, I don't know, did Hamer Helgrimson get in his head? He appeared to get in his head, because obviously he was making a beeline doing the chatting emoji walking off. It was mad.
I said it before the show, I'm happy to say it. he's 40 years of age and he's doing that.
40 year old baby.
Don't have to dwell on it too much, but the man is 40 years of age. What is he doing? And he's let his team down there. As a captain, you're doing that. Like.
And he wasn't involved in the game, but the point is, he could come up with, and we saw it before with Ronaldo, you know, when Pazuno was playing a few years ago, he can come up with those couple of key moments late in the game and just break your heart.
Yeah, but there was a moment in the game, again, I think Portugal went down the right wing and he comes out of the 18-yard box and he's on his left foot about 25 yards out when he hits it. It's gone about 10 yards wide and it hit somebody in the arse and went out for a corner kick, and you're thinking, That's not what you should be doing in that situation. Yeah. And he just looks frustrated and it kept going and going. And even at the start of the game, I'm looking at Nathan Collins and Ronaldo walking out together and they're having a bit of a chat. And I was thinking, I was ready to berate Nathan, thinking,
I noticed that as well.
Don't do that. Now, look, in hindsight, everything's fine because we've gone on and we gave a brilliant performance. But Ronaldo just seemed a bit happy with everything, didn't he? Even in the build-up, being nice to the chat and everything he was saying, he just seemed a little bit too nice. And yeah, he became frustrated. But that's what you've got to do. The Aviva should be a horrible, horrible place. And Nathan in the build-up saying, nobody wants to come to the Aviva. Everybody wanted to come to the Aviva. Now, people will look at yesterday's result and might think, oh, OK, the Irish are starting to get things together. But generally, the Aviva has become a fairly nice place to come, but it wasn't last night. It was an absolute cauldron.
Yeah.
I think we have a clip here of Hamer talking about that kind of interaction he had, Ronaldo, as he went off. If you want to play that here.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. That's KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Yeah, he complimented me with putting pressure on the referee. But listen, that had nothing to do with me. It was his action on the pitch that cost him a red card. Had nothing to do with me, unless I got into his head. No, I think we spoke enough when he came off. So, nothing to speak about. Nothing to speak about. This was just a moment of a little silliness for him, I would say.
That's what it was. It was a bit of a moment of silliness from Ronaldo. And I enjoyed then that when he was walking off after the red card was upgraded, the camera cut to the fans and they're all doing this back to him. It was brilliant. Like,
I think if you tried to plan out the perfect game for Ireland, the perfect, and how it played out the night before, that was it. Ronaldo getting the red card. And it really felt then we have them. This is it. We've done it.
And to be fair, you say a moment of madness. What was the moment of madness? When he threw the elbow? Or the 5 minutes in the VAR thing and then walking over to Hamer?
It was all a bit mad, wasn't it?
It was like a 5 minute moment of madness, wasn't it? Just really, really petulant from him. But I don't watch a lot of Saudi Arabian football, but I'm not sure what type of pressure he's under over there. But it just seemed the pressure got really, really ramped up and a peak Ronaldo rises to that occasion. But I think a 40-year-old Ronaldo, don't get me wrong, I'm still a huge fan of his, and I think he'll play a big part in the World Cup for Portugal. He'll still score goals, but we frustrated him and he didn't look anywhere near his best last night. He looked like a 40-year-old.
He did, didn't he? Yeah, and it wasn't even so much for me, the elbow. It was, I think it started when it was upgraded and he starts sarcastically clapping the crowd. It really got, I think Hamer Hallgrimsson's comments really got in his head. The fact that, Hallgrimsson was saying, obviously, dictated the stadium, dictated the referee over in Lisbon. And I don't know, Hamer's smirk on his face at the end, when Ronaldo shakes his hand and he goes down the tunnel. That's the moment where I fell in love with Hamer Hallgrimsson, I think.
This is Keegan and Ferguson moment, is it?
Yeah, brilliant.
I would love it if we beat them. Got right in his head. No, really, we need all that sort of stuff, don't we? Yeah. It's about a lot more than just 11v11. The build up to it, what happens in training, and all that type of stuff comes into it. And if Hamer's going to, fire a couple of mental shots across the bow, it worked, didn't it?
Yeah.
Why not?
I think we see is a bit about him as well. Even there's the angle you probably saw in the stadium, Keith, from the press box where Hamer clearly steps up straight away. As soon as he realises Ronaldo's coming in his direction, he's straight to the edge of his
you want some
technical body.
Yeah. Yeah, put the head in.
Honestly, that's a really good sign though.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he cares about the team. And he's not afraid to stand up to someone like Ronaldo, which I think a lot of managers in the lead up especially will praise him relentlessly nearly. But yeah, like Hamer wasn't doing that. Hamer was getting in his head.
Yeah,
it's a plan.
I'm similar to you, Keith, in the Collins stuff pre-game, because I remember Collins, you know, the handshake before the Armenia away game. Mm. And obviously they end up losing that game. Hindsight's great and all, but he's smiling and laughing at that point. And even with 10 minutes left, Ireland are trailing and Halgrimsson is laughing and joking with an Armenian player on the touchline.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, Jesus, don't be at that. Like, we're about to lose to Armenia. But then last night, it's fine because you win. Yeah. Like the second half, I'm just looking at the notes I took during the game. Obviously there's a moment where there's a couple of big moments, obviously the cheers when Ronaldo gets sent off, the cheers when Joao Felix takes a brutal first touch and it goes out over the touchline, and the fans have plenty to cheer about. Even at the end, Coleman's tackle on Leao and gets the crowd going. Obviously the game was won by then, but like second half performance was just so solid, and to shut them out, albeit they had 10 men for a period of that game, but they just never really threatened.
No, there was Ramos had a decent shot when he came off the bench,
good save,
the edge of the 18-yard box, and it was a decent strike, hit it into the ground, and initially when he hit it, I thought that would be a comfortable enough save, and it started to gather momentum. I thought, oh, that could end up in, and it was a decent save from Quivin. And when you look back at it on the 90 minutes as a whole, I can't remember Kelleher making too many saves, to be honest with you. I know he had little bits to do, little mopping up, little bits of housekeeping, but he wasn't overly worked whatsoever. And that's the most impressive thing for me, is that we beat Portugal and we deserved the win. Like Roberto Martinez said after the game, Ireland deserved the win. It wasn't a smash and grab, and it's so good. Ireland just beat one of the best teams in the world and deserved it. It wasn't we went up and won a corner and scored a header and then we defended for 89 minutes. We defended for long periods of that game. But there's two sides to the game. It's not all about being on the ball. And if you can be as good out of possession as we were last night, let the other team have it. If they want to pussyfoot around with it and have, you know, all sorts of possession around their back four and recycle, absolutely no problem. But what we have to do is the crowd need to stick with people, because you're like, I don't want to change our style of play. I think that should be our style of play no matter what, no matter who we're playing. I don't think we're good enough to open up an Armenia or even open up a Gibraltar, Luxembourg, whoever you want to talk about, even a Hungary. So whoever comes to town, that's our blueprint. Play five at the back. Now, we can get our wing-backs an awful lot higher given certain opposition, but that should be our blueprint. And if we know that's what we're going to do, we can get a whole lot better at that.
Yeah,
and like I say, decision making, running in behind when we need to run in behind, very very similar to what I've seen the north of Ireland do over the last couple of months under Michael O'Neill. So yeah, a team that was more than the sum of its parts last night, and that's what Ireland need to be. And I've said some really harsh stuff about this Irish team over the last couple of months. I said people from my generation, Richard Dunn, you know, like the older legends, Damien Duff, Robbie Keane, Shea Given, they were prepared to hurt and really, really suffer to win for Ireland. I wasn't so sure that this bunch of Irish players were. Obviously, they wanted to win. They wanted to win really badly. But were they prepared to put bodies on the line and really suffer? They were last night.
Mm.
And we got the win. And like I say, I'm over the moon and I just want more now.
Yeah. It's crazy, and like we're not going to delve into the negativity. Like, obviously we have a massive game on Sunday afternoon in Budapest, and we have to win that game. The brilliant thing about winning last night is that we just have to win the game. We don't have to win by two goals or anything. We just have to focus on winning the game. But it's in our hands. This is what Hamer wanted. He said it all along. We wanted it to be in our hands heading into the last game, and they've got that.
And to be fair, I think what a lot of people said at the start of the World Cup qualifying campaign is, if we're still alive in the Hungary game at the end of the campaign, they'd be happy. And we're still alive, and not only are we still alive, we've just battered Portugal at home as well. So we're rolling in with a little bit of momentum. I'm very, very reluctant to go down any sort of negative side, but you know, there's going to be some sore bodies. I think, what was it, 23% possession we had of the ball. So we did an awful lot of running. The lads will just live in an ice bath for the next couple of hours, and then just Sunday, empty the tank again. And
I suppose Hungary came onto a World Cup. Hungary had a tough battle in Armenia.
Yeah,
Armenia
had such a good chance in the last minute as well. Could have imagined if we'd have got the draw there. If Armenia had got the draw there.
Yeah.
But look, it's amazing, because honestly, I thought we were absolutely dead and buried. I thought it was a matter of time before the World Cup campaign just closes in on us, but to be still alive with some hope, I'm actually looking forward to Sunday. I was dreading Thursday, but now I'm looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to have Stephen Doyle over in Budapest for us. We booked this obviously a couple of weeks ago. I was thinking that before the game last night, is this going to be a damp squib we're heading Steve over for? But absolutely not. We're going to have updates across the day on Sunday as well in the show. Like, mental.
Is this the first game in a long time where all Irish fans can genuinely look forward to it? Like, it probably is. Like,
yeah.
There's always been a sense of dread around these games.
Big time.
Now it's like, I'm quite looking forward to this now.
Yeah. The closer it gets to kick off before big games, the more hope I get. Like, even before last, like, a day or two before last night's game, I was dreading it. And then as it gets closer to kick off and the light show is going in the Aviva and you're watching TV, I'm thinking, you know, maybe if we keep this tight for a bit, we could get something. But it was something else. I can't stop smiling this morning, lads. And the YouTube comments are absolutely floating in.
I can't keep tracking them.
There are too many coming in for us to keep an eye on. Yeah, lots on the Ronaldo incident, lots on Ireland's standout performers. It's hard to pick standout performers. Like, it's obviously Troy Parrott was given the man of the match last night, but there were a number of players all over the pitch who just really stood out and put their shoulders out.
Yeah, I think Scales is one. Obviously, I know he's played left back for a couple of times in his career, but by trade now he's a centre half for Celtic. So to be thrown out at left back and be up against Bernardo Silva, which I know I think he's come off the elite boil, but he's still a very, very good player. Little magician, can manipulate the ball really well. I thought Jake O'Brien was brilliant. Coleman was excellent. Collins, Quivain didn't have an awful lot to do, but what he had to do, he did excellently. And the lads in the middle, you know, Cullen, Taylor, Azaz, Benny on the other wing, they didn't do an awful lot in terms of, you know, breaking up the play. They got themselves into decent positions. But what I really loved and what we've seen in especially Stephen Kenny's Irish team was Cullen would go and press the ball out and he'd get bopped around and he'd get a shot off in behind him. Just keep the game in front of you. I mean, I realised how effective that can be. When I was playing centre midfield for Pats and I was 20 ton overweight and I couldn't get up to the ball to press people. So I just sat in the hole and thought, play around me. And it's so difficult for them to play around you. And Cullen, I thought, was excellent. Taylor was really good as well. And again, it wasn't anything on the ball. When they got it, they played in behind and they stopped Portugal playing. And if you go out to out on a pitch and think, I'm just going to be a disruptor, I'm just going to stop them playing. And we have players that can do that really well. But when we win it, don't get tempted to start trying to play a bit of football. Mm-hmm. Just fire it in behind, because look what we did. Sunday morning I would wake up and I'd show the lads all of the highlights of just balls going in behind the Portuguese defence. Ruben Dias plays for Manchester City, plays in the Champions League, one of the best centre-halves in the Premier League, yet looks so uncomfortable chasing balls towards his own goal.
Yeah,
just do it more often.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, Portugal had made 5 substitutions I think last night before Ireland made their first one, and then you see obviously Ida coming on. Conor Coventry even was one of those disruptors when he came on to his senior debut. Like, amazing.
It's mad because, like, a talking point over the last probably six months to a year has been, like, we've no midfield. Now going into Sunday, we've the three that started, Conor Coventry coming off the bench, and we've Jason Malumbi coming back.
Yeah.
So now we're like, just who are we playing, lads? we're spoiled for choice now.
And Manning's back from suspension as well.
Like, yeah, of course.
You need those options when you've had a turnover from Thursday to Sunday particularly, don't you?
Yeah, you do need options, but I would be very, very tempted. And again, this is from the outside looking in, I'd be very, very tempted to copy and paste and go again on Sunday. I know Coleman, you would imagine, is struggling, hasn't played an awful lot of minutes. There might be one or two others with some knocks. Troy Parrott come off, that would lead you to believe that Hamer is thinking about Sunday for him. I would copy and paste and go again, but I imagine you're going to have a couple of chats one-to-one with players and see how they feel. But yeah, like, what more can you ask for? 2 goals, clean sheet, no mistakes, very, very few mistakes in the midfield. Unbelievable performance, and like I say, it's the blueprint moving forward. Just need more of it.
I'm going to start banning people on the YouTube comments who bring any form of negativity this morning. Anthony Ryan says, Hamer was also the coach when we lost to Armenia. A win there would have us on 10 points.
If we hadn't lost to Armenia, I don't think we'd win this game. I think they've taken this and they've gone, this is it, lads.
Needed it.
This is one of the biggest games we've had for years. Let's go out and win it.
We could have topped the group, lads. We could have topped the group. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah, Armenia beat Portugal.
Yeah, a couple of other negative comments. Bearbox says, this performance doesn't work against teams that actually work hard, though. But look, the point is, Ireland worked hard last night, and if you work harder than the opponent, you give yourself a serious chance.
But that's the underlying message for me. And again, don't want to go down the negative route, but this Irish group on a whole, it's a fairly average group when you look at it. When you look at what Portugal have and what we have, I would describe us as average. So we're going to have to outwork teams. We're going to have to outfight teams. That has to be the absolute minimum. The minimum request is maximum output. And the lads did that, and they sprinkled in that little bit of magic, because we know they're good players. Troy Parrott is a good player. He showed that last night. Ogbeni can be very, very effective. Azaz can do little things when he's on the ball. Our possession, they were absolutely outstanding. And like I say, there's such a mismatch of players when you think of Nathan Collins at Brentford, Quivín at Brentford. Some of these lads like to play football. Even Cullen at Bourne, he likes to play a little bit of football under Scott Parker. But when they come to Ireland, needs to be very, very basic, very, very simplistic. Get the ball, play into good areas, don't make mistakes. And that's what they did. And this is the performance I've been calling out for months. When I'm saying back to front, you know, old school 4-4-2, this type of style, this is what I'm talking about. This type of hustle and bustle. The elite teams don't like that, because they have the lion's share of possession. And when you win it, you're not bothered about keeping the ball. You're just fired it in behind. So there is no such thing as a counter-press.
Yeah.
They can't counter-press a ball into the channel. So you're taking away one of the big weapons is a counter-press. So absolutely brilliant. I'm not sure what more to say other than I'm on cloud nine and looking forward to Sunday.
Buzzing.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code FITNESS at kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com code FITNESS.